Let us just bow in a word of prayer. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of that hymn that we have been singing. We thank you for your majesty. We thank you for your greatness. We pray now that as we turn to your word, that you'll open our ears that we might hear your words, that we might respond to your voice for what you have to say to us. For we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen. Over recent months, we have been considering different aspects of the Christian life, the need for salvation and how that salvation makes a difference to our lives. The last time I was with you, we considered heaven, the home being prepared for every Christian. And the question was asked, where are you going from here? Are you ready to leave this world and enter eternity? Will it be heaven for you? Now today I want to finish off this series of taking a brief look at the second coming of Christ. You will remember that what Jesus said when Christ returned to his disciples, they stood looking up into heaven at the time of his ascension. And Jesus' work on earth was finished. He was now leaving. He would not appear to his disciples again as he had done over the past 40 days since his death and resurrection. The disciples were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two angels stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven." Surely there could be nothing more clear or specific than that. How did he go up? He ascended into heaven, flesh and bone. Remember, he said, "Look at me, handle me, as spirit has not flesh and bone, as you see me have." Remember, an angel was sent to announce his birth. Angels sang to the shepherds on the hills of near Bethlehem. An angel told the woman of his resurrection. And two angels told the disciples of his coming again. It is the same testimony in all these cases. Scripture has always proved itself. Scripture tells of that flood that was coming, and the flood did come. It tells that Jesus was coming into the world, and he did come. And it tells he is coming again the second time, and he will come. For centuries, the prophets pointed towards one thing, the first coming of Christ. And when he did come, they did not recognize him because they thought he was coming as a king. And instead, he came as a humble baby into a poor family. It is said there are 318 references in the New Testament to the second coming of Christ. And just as he fulfilled prophecy in his first coming, so he will surely fulfill it again on his second coming. And surely every time believers meet together around the Lord's table, we remember this second coming. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, which points two ways. It points backwards to the cross, and it points forward to his coming again. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we say to ourselves, "I believe that he has come to be my Savior, and I am looking forward to his coming again." Let us remember also that Jesus himself said that he was coming back. In the upper room, as he was talking to the sorrowing disciples, he told them that he was leaving them for a little while, but that he would come back again. Just as I was telling the story to the children about Andrew's parents. Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So every word that Jesus said is true. He said he will die, and he rose again on the third day, and he did. And he said he was going back someday, and he will. So the second coming of Christ is the greatest certainty of the future. We're not sure of what the future holds for our province. We're not sure of what the UK, what holds for UK after Brexit. We're not sure of what the future holds for our families. But we are sure that Christ will return. Now, if that is the case, when will he return? We do not know when he will come. Some years ago, a New Jersey man announced that Christ would come at a certain morning at sunrise. And so his followers went with him to a high hill to wait for Jesus. But he did not come. In England, another man announced that Christ was coming on a certain day. And he and his followers on that day were clothed in their white ascension robes and were waiting for Christ. But he did not come. We cannot tamper with God's timetable. We do not know when he is coming. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, we read that Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times nor dates that the Father has set by his own authority." And in Mark 13:32, we read, "No one knows about that day nor hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." He may come before this service is over. He may not come for another 100 years. So Scripture makes it clear that before Christ returns, certain things will come to pass. And let us just look for a moment at some of those things. Before Christ returns, the Jews will return to the land of Palestine from all over the earth. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 30, verses 3 to 5, "Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he has scattered you, even if you have been banished to the most distant land under heaven, from where the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belongs to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers." After rebelling against the Romans in AD 66 and again in 132, Judea was crushed and most of the remaining Jews were dispersed throughout the Roman Empire and beyond. The Jews have been scattered all over the earth in almost every nation. By December 1941, Adolf Hitler decided to completely exterminate European Jews, and although millions lost their lives, it was not in God's plan for them to be wiped out. An independent Jewish homeland was entirely a dream of a small group of zealots a century ago. It moved a step nearer during World War I, when the forces of the British Commonwealth took control of Jerusalem from the Turks in December 1916. A few months later, the British government pledged itself to the establishment of an independent Jewish homeland in the ancient lands that the Jews had inhabited for centuries. It was to be another 30 years before the dream was realized in 1948. Yet since then, the tiny Israel has had to fight war for revival. 1948, 1967, 1973, and has suffered countless terrorist attacks and threats and annihilation from hostile neighbors determined to exterminate the Jewish state. But it will never be done. They are fighting a losing battle. 100 years ago, such developments were hard to imagine for the simple reason that no independent Jewish political entity existed in the Middle East. So prophecy is being fulfilled, and the Jews are returning to Palestine ever since. And this is the reason why we have trouble in the Middle East today, for the Jews are returning back to their homeland, and they are dispersing and displacing the Arabs to get room to live. This was prophesied. This is being fulfilled today. Then again, before Christ returns, the gospel message will be preached all over the world. Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Today we have radio, television, internet, satellite. Let me give you a few figures. Several years ago, the Billy Graham World Television Series reached an expected 2.5 billion viewers, as much as half of the world's population. The program was seen in 200 countries, in more than 45 languages, and 445 million pieces of follow-up literature were distributed. Modern technology, faster communication and travel, modern printing techniques means that the world has been reached with the gospel in a way today that has never been seen in its history. Even so, during the past 50 years, it has not been possible to reach all the countries. The former communist nations did not allow freedom of religion. China, with one quarter of the world's population, still does not. Other nations also try to suppress the publication of biblical truth and even the Bible itself. Many Islamic nations do not allow religious freedom. In some countries, people risk death penalty for changing their religion. But as I said, the internet is changing things. People can listen to the gospel message. People can see the things in the quietness of their own home, even though the government may not allow so. The gospel message of the coming kingdom of God is still going out over the world in such a way that has never been known in the history of the world today. It will finish when God has decided that his work is completed and the time is right for the final end time events to take place. Then again, before Christ returns, there will be a great increase in calamities, earthquakes, and troubles all over the world. Could anyone count the number of atrocities that have taken place in, say, the last 5 years only? We have had trouble in nearly every country of the world, and it is all recorded in Scripture. Luke 21, 10 and 11 says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and famines and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to the synagogues and to the prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. Persecution is taking place today and in a way that has never been known in the history of the world today. Troubles and atrocities are happening today as never been known in the history of the world. These very things are happening today on a scale never seen in living memory all over the world. Are we not appalled at what's happening and what we see and what we hear in the news daily in France, in Germany, in Syria? But these things will take place, and then the end will come. Again, we're told that the human race will have the ability to exterminate itself. Matthew 24 and 22 describes world conditions prior to his second coming. And Jesus said that in those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Matthew 24 and 22 shows us that if Jesus Christ does not intervene in the world affairs, the human race will be faced with extinction. It's crucial to note that humanity has had the capacity of self-annihilation for only a little more than 70 years. Since both the United States and the Soviet Union developed the stockpile of hydrogen bombs and the world had to learn to live with mutual assured destruction. On August the 6th, 1945, during World War II, the United States dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan. About 140,000 people were killed or died within months. At that time, there were only three nuclear powers, Britain being the other. By the middle of the 1960s, France and China had joined the nuclear club. Today, nine countries possess more than 15,000 nuclear weapons. The United States and Russia maintain roughly 1,800 of their nuclear weapons on high alert status, ready to be launched within seconds of a warning. Most are many times more powerful than the atomic bombs dropped in Japan in 1945. A couple of weeks ago, Westminster just voted on renewing the Trident, which consists of four submarines armed with nuclear warheads. The present one is expected to reach the end of its working life at some point during the 2030s. So, of course, the more nuclear power we have in the world, the more likely it is that someone will use this deadly force for evil. Although international attention has been focused on the nuclear program of North Korea and Iran during the last few years, little attention has been drawn to the possibility of some of all or all of the Pakistan's nuclear arsenal falling into the hands of radical Islam. During the ongoing crisis in Pakistan, the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda, and other sympathizers have steadily gained more power, territory, and influence, making nuclear terrorism more likely. Just consider the consequences for the rest of the world if some of them had access to nuclear weapons. The rise of the Islamic State in Iran and Syria, ISIS, the Islamic militant group that has seized a chunk of land stretching from North Syria to central Iraq, has struck fear into the hearts of the leaders around the world. We have reached the stage today that we can destroy the world, but unless God intervenes. Then again, before Christ returns, there will be a worldwide apostasy. That is, many Christians will be cold and formal or asleep. In 2 Peter 3:3-4, we read, "In the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and followers are following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming?' He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." As it says in Revelation, many will be lukewarm, and as a result, God will spew them out of his mouth. Are many Christians today not living careless lives? These things will be in the last days. Time and time again, we say to ourselves, where are the Christians? What are they doing? Sitting back. There's no doubt that the devil has been busy and very successful tempting people into sin and false doctrine. He's done such an excellent job that even Christians are going astray, and almost no one seems to be aware of this or even cares anymore. Listen to the radio and whatever, and you see the way that Christians have been maligned left, right, and center. And no one will stand up. But God sees all this, for he has not changed his holy standards. God's word will not change. God's standard will not change. Yes, Christians are changing, and we're saying we have to go with the times, but God does not change. And let us Christians stand up and see that we have an unchanging God and an unchanging word. Have you heard of Chrislam? Chrislam is a modern-day attempt to blend the teaching and the practice of Christianity and Islam. On the 26th of June 2011, churches all across America held Chrislam services in their churches. They were to organize events involving clergy reading from each other's sacred texts. An example would be a Christian minister, a Jewish rabbi, and Muslim imam participating in a worship service or other event. On the 22nd of June 2014, the BBC reported on the House of One, as it is called, where Christians, Muslims, and Jews can all worship, initially at least in separate rooms. The building combines a church, a synagogue, and a mosque under one room. It is called House of One. It is situated in Berlin. It is expected to be built next year at a cost of $43.5 million euro. The Vatican actively supports Chrislam. Restoration of unity among all Christians was one of the principal concerns of the Second Vatican Council in 62 to 65. The Council's decree on ecumenism claimed that Christ founded only one church and that division openly contradicts the will of Christ. And this is what it claims. It claims the ecumenical movement is striving to overcome these obstacles. Although the ecumenical movement and the desire for peace within the Catholic Church have not yet taken hold everywhere, it is our hope that ecumenical feelings and mutual esteem may gradually increase among all men. Catholics in their ecumenical work are most accusedly be concerned for their separated brethren. The Roman Catholic Church is determined to reclaim the ground lost during the Reformation. Apostasy means falling away, deflecting, forsaking, or departing from the faith. And so the Apostle Paul predicted a time would come when men and women would turn away from the faith and instead embrace heresy. And that is taking place today. And Chrislam is growing forward. Yes, many things will happen before Christ returns. And many are now happening at this very moment in time. The world was to be prepared for his first coming. And many things that were to happen did happen. And then we're told in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. And yet the people were not prepared for his birth. And the same thing is happening concerning his second coming. The prophecies are being fulfilled. They have been filled left, right, and center all around us. And people do not recognize this, and they're not prepared to accept this. What then are we doing? We should be watching. In Matthew 24, 42, we are told, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord will come." Do you remember how God thinned out the ranks of Gideon's army? He told Gideon to bring 10,000 men down to the water to drink. Those who bent down and drank from the water directly with their mouth were to be left behind. But the 300 who filled the water up with their hands while still looking forward towards the enemy were chosen. In like manner, we are to be busy for Christ. We are to keep our eyes towards his return. The thought should be daily on our minds. But many must admit the thought is seldom there. The reason why so many Christians are living careless and unworthy lives is because they do not think much about Christ's return. They go to places of the world. They allow themselves to be entertained by the world because they are not watching and waiting for the Lord's return. They find at least an excuse for not attending church on the Sabbath day. I have heard all excuses, all lame excuses almost every day, why they're not attending the church, why they're not attending the midweek Bible study and prayer meeting, why they do not tithe their money which belongs to God so that the gospel might be proclaimed at home and abroad. Writing to the Thessalonians, Paul says, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a cloud, command with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that we who are still alive and left will be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." When these events happen, there's going to be some commotion. There's going to be some excitement, but there's also going to be much sadness. For we are told in Luke's gospel, two people will be in one bed, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding the corn together, one will be taken and the other left. And the point Jesus is making is that there's going to be a division, there's going to be a separation of people. Two people will be seemingly in a similar situation, in their life, but will not necessarily end up in the same place in life after death. I've already mentioned a number of things that will take place before Christ comes. Are we prepared to recognize the signs of His coming? These are exciting times to be part of God's kingdom. Signs of the times are everywhere. But we must avoid being like the religious leaders in the time of Jesus. God in the flesh stood before them, spoke to them, but they were too blind to see it. Are you ready? That is the question. Some time ago, the Prince of Wales was on a visit to the Midlands, and he dropped into a workman's house. The next day, the man told his friends, "I never expected him, nor did my wife. The house was untidy. I hadn't washed. We shall never forgive ourselves. If we had known he was coming, we should have been ready for him." And that was just a visit from the Prince of Wales. What about a visit from the Savior? Will we be ready? Because no one knows when Jesus will come again for that final judgment. We must always be prepared. The Son of Man cometh when you think not. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for when He comes? Let us pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for that wonderful news that Jesus Christ is coming back. We thank You that You made that promise that You go to prepare a place for us and then You'll come back again. Help us to look forward with excitement. Let us look forward with enthusiasm for the return of Christ. But we pray for those who are not ready because they're going to meet their judge and they're going to hear Him say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And so we pray for each and every one gathered within this congregation and those who will hear this service by internet or by tape, that we will be ready. For we know not the day nor the hour when Christ will return. And so we pray that You, by Your Holy Spirit, will move from heart to heart and from seat to seat, and that they might seek the Savior. For in His name we ask it. Amen.